We are people of the story. In the Bible, we have a book of stories and the people of Israel. It tells the good and bad stories of how the people interacted with God. And sometimes today you find people that really want it to be a handbook on Christianity, but really it is just a story. The early church, a story of how the people discovered what it meant to be followers of Jesus. The story is told in Acts and in the letters that were written to the early church, plus other writings, and how they figured out what to do by simply doing the next thing. And we see both their successes and their failures, their struggles in that. Quakers. How people in England began to understand a direct relationship with Jesus and what that looked like. There's many stories about people that are told about this people who tried to be faithful as friends of Jesus. And we love to recount those stories of a community of friends as they spread across England and then to the United States and elsewhere. Stories of being faithful to their leadings even when there were costly choices. Friends Memorial Church. The history of a group of friends that began meeting in a tent in 1905. How they were established as a monthly meeting and were given a building. 111 years later, we fast forward through history to today where we gather as North Seattle Friends Church. I joined the story here in 2000 when I came as pastor. And in that time alone, our story has been significant. Early on, we felt puny. But as we listened, we learned to be a faithful people. God has taught us many things in those 16 years. First of all, that God only asks that we are faithful. That's all. We don't have to be successful. We don't have to look like we think we should look. We only are to be faithful. That is enough. We've learned that we are enough. Who we are today is enough. We've learned that we're to start by telling the truth. We've learned that we're all ministers of North Seattle Friends Church. We've discovered that our trust is sturdy and that listening takes time, but that we can hear God as a community. The story continues today. Recently, we've learned that we don't have to be afraid. And we made fear not buttons to announce that to both ourselves and to the world. Last Sunday, we gathered in worship and we told powerful stories of how we're living that out. The truth is that there's huge power in telling stories. In telling stories, we are naming the truth of what God is doing among us now. It's important to name it to ourselves, to name the truth of what God is doing within us, in our circle of friends, where we live. But it's also important to name it within the community, to name what God is doing. Somehow that makes it real and it makes it sturdy. It makes it last. I think we're often afraid that if we tell it, the miracle will be unappreciated, that other people won't recognize it as powerfully as we recognize it, that it'll be like casting your crumbs on the water and they'll just float on down the river and amount to nothing, dissipate. And so we keep it private. But it is the telling of the story that makes it sturdy within us. There is power in telling the story and in naming the truth of what God is doing. I think I really learned that here at this church with our story around Kinder Campus. Our journey around Kinder Campus after I came and when we ultimately were led to lay down that ministry and allow it to go to another congregation. It was a long and convoluted journey in which we went from, yes, we're called to do it, and then, no, we're not. And there was a journey in that process. There were many, many, many meetings of all sorts around that. But after it was all said and done, and we were at the end of the process, it was decided that it would be included as a case story in a book that Jan and Lon Fendel and Bruce Bishop worked on, that called Practicing Discernment, which is in our library, by the way. And if you haven't read it, there's the case study in there about the daycare is us. It was decided that that would be included in that book. And Bruce came to get the information from us. I had sent to him a timeline of what happened when. So we kind of had the skeleton facts. But he came to interview us as a community. We sat in the fellowship hall in a big circle. And we began to tell the story of what happened. Now, Bruce would not let us rehash the issues. He wouldn't let us go back and, what did I think, and kind of lay all the issues out all over again. We had that fact written down in my timeline, whatever was needed. What he wanted to know was the God movement of what happened. How did it shift? What changed inside of you? How did you move first here and then there? All of that kind of God movement. And there was power in telling the God movement. Muriel was with us at that time. She was still alive, and she was in the kitchen and working in the kitchen. She did not want to join the circle because there had been real pain for her in that process. A difficult thing to lay down, a difficult thing to say, to recognize that we couldn't, it wasn't ours to do any longer. And so rather than be hurt, she stayed in the kitchen. She was there, but she stayed in the kitchen where she could hear and kind of protect herself. And by the end of that gathering, she had joined the circle because there was power in telling the God movement. We cried together at letting Kinder Campus go. It was not an easy decision. But there was power in recognizing that God had moved and that we collectively could tell the story of God's movement and the yes-ness of our ultimate answer. That it wasn't ours to do anymore. It had been in the beginning. We didn't diminish the power of the work that had been done through Kinder Campus. We didn't throw it away and say, oh, we never should have gone there. No, it was ours to do in the beginning, but it was ours to release at that point. And I learned that we have to name that. We need to talk about it. We need to tell what God is doing and to tell how God is moving inside of us. Last Sunday, as we gathered in worship, we named the God story that is happening among us. It was told with community voices. It was told by every one of us that was gathered here. I listened to the recording later, and I counted over 20 God stories that were born by this community as we shared together. Some were little stories, some were big deal stories, but they were all God stories. Some were unfinished stories where we joined you in praying for the unfolding story. And the truth was in all of that we really own the fear not message that we live out daily. We have taken it into our being that we do not have to be afraid. And that we can live out that in all of our lives, wherever we go. The other thing that I've noticed is that our story has moved from in here to out there. We are a church sent out. Earlier, I think our story was really centered in the church with implications for the rest of our lives. We learned truths for us as a community gathered. And yes, they had implications for us in our lives, but it seemed like somehow the story was more centered in here. And now it's like the story is centered in a much broader location. It's going global. Mark, you spoke to that last week when you talked about reading a book on information technology and globalization. And you said that we're moving to a global economy with resources from anywhere that are applied to specific situations. And how this is a God truth that we already know. That we don't have to be afraid because God uses universal resources to apply to our situations, our specific situations, wherever we are. Universal resources that are applied in specific ways, but God's universal resources. It looks different than we expect it to look. And sometimes it looks like we don't have any answers and we don't really know. And Mark and Beth just bore witness to what we thought maybe was an answer, but really wasn't the kind of answer that we expected. It's still an answer, but it's undone. And with the school, that it's still undone. But God is present in all of that. And we have an infinite God with universal resources that are applied to all of our situations. And because of that, we don't have to be afraid. We can trust. The next thing that's true is that we are all ministers, and that we are all ministers of North Seattle Friends Church, every single one of you. There's not a person here that isn't a minister of North Seattle Friends Church. And as you go out, you go with the power and authority of a minister of North Seattle Friends Church. I'll give you a business card if you want one. I can print those too. I can make buttons. I can print business cards. There you go. And the other thing is that we've learned is that we accompany you in the going. You are not alone. We've heard that this morning. We are the church out there, all across the city and beyond. When I first came here to Seattle, I was given a vision of North Seattle Friends Church in my early days. A vision of a great people to be gathered, and as many gathering places as there are Starbucks. And gathering places that were as diverse as Starbucks are diverse, from little bitty drive-through places to big standalone, sit-down places, all kinds of Starbucks, some in the corner of a grocery store, some in a bookstore, just every shape and variety. And I think I really got that vision has come to reality. Our gathering places are all over the place, and we named many of them last Sunday. Beth and Mark and Jen, you have created a gathering community, a God place where God is at work. And you invited into that a seller and a broker to be a part of that community. You invited in the manager of the community that you talked to this week when you called, by doing business a different way, by following a different model from business as usual. Jenny told a story of inviting her friends in as they journeyed with a friend of theirs that has since died, and how they went to visit her, and she was able to play her piano in a house that she had built. Philip, you are a God person. You have a community because you talk all the time to people. You listen. And all of those places are gathering places. Some of it takes place in Starbucks even. I love it, Philip. But you are a minister, listening and walking alongside people. Burundi, David and Thars and Peace Through Pieces, our tangible gathering place has stretched around the globe in really practical and tangible ways to Burundi. It's also gone to Cuba and other places around the world, but we have a substantial interaction with Burundi. Way of the Spirit is another place that we interact as people from here, Jan and Patty and Becky and Lynn, and maybe there's some more, Carla, and there's others that have gone and participated both as leaders and as participants in that. And then we got to join Becky with this kiss of love. Because we go every time you go, Becky. And Beth, you have a profound ministry of gathering places all over. Some of those, I think, are by email. Some of them are by phone, because they are way beyond the city of Seattle. And I don't know how many times you have coffee with people that you tell the story of what it means to not be afraid. Every time she gets together with people. All of those places are gathering places where we're being the church. The church dispersed, sent out. Sue and her condo group. These are just the stories we told last week. And it goes on and on, where all of us are at work. We're a gathering of many, and there is power in what God is doing among us. It's transforming power. It's shake your life all upside down, turn it over, make it right side up, change your life kind of power. And it's changed every one of us. It's changed how we do life. It's changed how we know God. It's changed how we live life. It's changed all of our interactions with people. It is a powerful thing as we live out the kingdom of God. God is at work in this place in powerful, powerful ways. I want to close with reading two scriptures. One I read at the beginning of worship from Acts 21, because this is exactly what we're doing. After a time of greeting and small talk, Paul told the story detail by detail. It's important that we tell the story detail by detail, that we not just, oh yeah, God was at work in my life this week. End of story. We need to tell how that was happening. Paul told the story detail by detail of what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. They listened with delight and gave God the glory. They had a story to tell too. And then in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3, John has a vision, a vision of heaven come to earth. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," and he says this to us today here at North Seattle, "see, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and the God himself will be with them." God is here. God dwells with us, lives with us, as we are the church, faithful wherever we go to live out the truth of what God is doing among us. And we bear witness to the power of that story. Let us listen and wait in the presence of the living God who speaks to us.